you might think, and you would be right to think, that you're not worthy of God. You might feel that you can't bring glory to God, but in your humble and lowly state, God wants to use you because it glorifies him more to use the humble and lowly. And none of us should have a problem being that. And so we can be used by God. That's a blessing. He is great, and he wants to glorify his name through us. Praise the Lord for that. We've sung in this service about light. The light of the world is Jesus. And we've sung about the light of God's truth in our heart. And the opposite of that, of course, is darkness. And we know that darkness can be oppressive. It's often oppressive and frightening. Children are afraid of the dark, and adults can be too. Darkness is frightening because it keeps us from seeing what's around us. It hinders our sight. It keeps us from seeing our surroundings. If you have the blessing of sight, and I don't think there are any blind people here today, we rely on that eyesight. We need our eyes, and we lean on that, we rely on that, and darkness takes that away from us. Of course, people who don't have the use of their eyes deal with that all the time, and they maybe get used to it, but it's hard when darkness takes that away from a seeing person. Of course, when we're safely tucked into bed at night, our doors are locked, our windows are locked, darkness helps us sleep, and it's not oppressive or frightening, at least to adults, when it's time for bed. It helps us at that time. But if you're lost in the woods at night, or maybe you're lost in the inner city of Chicago at night, darkness is very frightening. Darkness is very intimidating. It can be terrifying. Of course, we know that darkness is the absence of light. It's not something of its own, it's not a condition of its own. Light is its own element, and darkness is the absence of that light. And rarely, even at nighttime, it is rare for us to experience total darkness. Especially in town, there are street lights, and there's some darkness, but even outside of town, there's the moon, there are stars. It's rare for total darkness to be noticed, for us to have total darkness, but some have experienced total darkness. Exodus chapter 10, the Lord said unto Moses in verse 23, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And think about what those verses are saying. Darkness, thick darkness, which may be felt. I don't know what that is like. I'm thankful I've never experienced that, but they could feel it. What did it feel like? I don't know. I imagine it was pretty oppressive. And it says, for 3 days, they saw not one another. It was so thick, they could not see anyone. They could feel the darkness. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. And that's the effect that darkness has. Again, blind people can learn their way around their home, and they learn their way around their surroundings, and they memorize where everything is. But if you suddenly, and people who maybe lose their eyesight in an accident or an illness, it's sudden for them. It takes a while for them to feel brave enough to venture out and start exploring because it's so traumatic, and that's what these people dealt with. This darkness which made me felt, they didn't go anywhere. They didn't rise from their place. Suddenly, this darkness that could be felt was everywhere, and it brought a lot of fear. They weren't brave enough to venture out, go places, because they couldn't see anything for 3 days. And then it says, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So this darkness was over all the land, but in the Egyptians' dwellings, in their homes, the light didn't do anything. The light didn't illuminate their houses, their homes. But it only illuminated the Israelites' dwellings. That is real darkness. Even at nighttime, you and I can turn on the light, and we can see. this kind of darkness is very rare. It was a supernatural act of God. Another example of somebody having a total darkness is told here. Charles Colson, you might remember that name, a man who was a wicked man who got saved and became a voice for the gospel. Charles Colson and several other Christian leaders once met with President Ceballos of Ecuador to discuss Prison Fellowship International's ministry in Ecuadorian penitentiaries. They had no sooner been seated in luxurious leather chairs when the president interrupted the conversation with the story of his own imprisonment years before being elected to the presidency. He'd been involved in the struggle for democracy in Ecuador. The military had cracked down and he was arrested. Without trial, they threw him into a cold dungeon with no light and no window. For 3 days, he endured the solitary fear and darkness that can drive a person mad. Just when the situation seemed unbearable, the huge steel door opened and someone crept into the darkness. Ceballos heard the person working on something in the opposite corner. Then the figure crept out, closed the door, and disappeared. Minutes later, the room suddenly blazed with light. Someone, perhaps taking his life into his hands, had connected electricity to the broken light fixture. From that moment, explained President Ceballos, my imprisonment had meaning. Because at least I could see. Seeing is important. And even more oppressive and frightening than physical darkness is spiritual darkness. And we have that spiritual darkness in our world today. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just as physical darkness is the absence of light, spiritual darkness is the absence of God, the absence of righteousness. 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. There's a lot of hatred in our world today, isn't it? Isn't there? There's a lot of people who... You look at the Middle East, there are people who want to annihilate the nation of Israel. You look at in the war in Ukraine, and there are people who want to obliterate the enemy for what we would say are unrighteous reasons. There's a lot of hatred, and he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. This darkness is all around us, and no doubt you've experienced it. If you're saved, you can look back to a time in your life before you were saved, and you say, I lived in darkness. I didn't understand. I didn't know this light, this spiritual light that was available. I lived in darkness. I didn't see where I was going. And a lot of people are used to it. Of course, we're born in sin. We're born lost. We're born sinners. And so we don't know any different. But there's a lot of foolishness, and people live foolishly. People make terrible decisions because they're in darkness. They don't see. They're groping around just looking for what feels good. And when there's total darkness, you have to go by how things feel. And maybe it's hard to know by the feel what you're feeling. I think about Braille, which is, of course, the alphabet for blind people. They can feel the raised spots on the page and read the words. I feel those raised spots, and they don't mean anything to me. I'm not able to feel and discern what those dots mean. I haven't learned it. I haven't practiced it. And when you're blind, there's a lot of things you're feeling around for when you can't see, when you're in darkness. You're feeling it, and you misinterpret a lot of things. But when light comes on, it all makes sense. You can see it. You can understand it. And the Lord is light. Spiritual light changes our life. This president said, my imprisonment had meaning because at least I could see. And our life, this physical life for so many people doesn't have meaning because they're in the darkness. They can't see. They don't know what's going on. They need the light. Darkness is a spiritual condition. And one day, the lost will be cast into outer darkness, eternal darkness. Matthew 8, verses 10 through 12. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And he's saying, I'm coming to Israel, I'm the Savior of Israel, but many Israelites do not have this kind of faith. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Many Gentiles will be saved, they will be in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, many Jews, Israelites, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Spiritual darkness. And I'm thankful that God knows man's misery. In both physical darkness, the plague on Egypt was intended to be miserable. It was a plague. It was a terrible thing. 3 days of darkness that could be felt. God knows the misery that we experience in dark, physical darkness. I'm thankful that he knows the misery we experience in spiritual darkness. We know that God created light. God created it. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll see how God and when God created light. Looking at darkness in the Word of God was an interesting study. Darkness conceals. Darkness does a lot of things, and God conceals himself. But spiritually, God is light. God is the light. He created light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We can joke. We can say those words as we hit the light switch. But our words don't make it happen. Electricity makes it happen. When God said those words, that's all that needed that's all that was needed to create the light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Light and darkness are different, and we understand this, but spiritually it's important to know this and to make this distinction. Light and darkness have no fellowship with one another. They are opposites. We do not need to live in darkness. We can live in light. God created the day, physically speaking. He created the light. But even during the night, even during the darkness, physically on this earth, God created lights for us. Look at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Just like that, God did it. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now we know that darkness helps us rest, and I've read things about good sleep, and they all say you need darkness in your bedroom at night when you sleep. You can't, if you have all these lights on, it hinders your sleep, and you might be able to fall asleep well, but it doesn't help you sleep as deeply as you need to get the rest you need. But God created light, and there's a time at night, of course, when the sun goes down and it's dark, and he knows that we need that time to sleep for our bodies to rejuvenate and be ready for the next day. But even in those times of darkness, physically speaking, God created lights. He put lights in the heavens. And so it's a neat picture of, even though this world is filled with sin, the Word of God is a light. God is a light. The truth is light. And there are times and places of spiritual darkness where it seems that sin is having the upper hand. But even in those times, there are lights. God's work is still working. God's word is still speaking to hearts. Just like in the nighttime, there are still lights in the skies, in the heavens. And I would ask you today, are you in spiritual darkness? Are you living without the Lord? Because not only did God create physical light, the Bible teaches us that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would illuminate our lives. Sometimes we like darkness because we want to conceal our sin. Other times we're in darkness because we don't know any better. But you desire to bring the light to our lives. The light is good for us. The light ministers to us. The light changes us. And ultimately, Lord, it is the light that saves us. Help us to live in the light. Help us to come to the light. Help us to open our hearts to the light of the world so that you can shine and dispel the darkness in us. Pray that you speak to us and challenge us this morning, Jesus. Turn to John chapter 1. Book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to see several passages here. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." We just read a portion of Genesis chapter 1, the creation chapter. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." God, Christ, is the Creator. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." Notice that capital L. Light. "That all men through him might believe." He was not that light. John was not that light. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light of the world. Every person that is born into the world receives, has the light of the Lord, the light of the world, the light of God shine on them in some form. The light, the truth, is revealed in some form to all men. Look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light for all men. And that light is shown on every man that cometh into the world. It's shown in viewing the created world, seeing that there is a God here somewhere. There is a God who made this. This didn't just happen. The light is shown through the preaching of God's word and the printing of God's word, meditating on these truths. Jesus is the light of the world, and we ought to praise Him for that. Look at Luke chapter 2. In the book of Luke chapter 2, Gospel of Luke, we see that Jesus, the baby, was described as the light, as just an infant, just days after He was born. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "How fitting that a star..." Something that shines light. A star guided the wise men to Jesus. Luke 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." We ought to praise the Lord for sending the light. Without Christ, you and I would be hopelessly condemned for hell. We would be living our lives just doing the things that come natural to us, no hope, destroying ourselves, destroying our bodies, destined for outer darkness, eternal darkness. But Jesus, even while a baby, was prophesied by Simeon under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, control of the Holy Spirit, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Jesus is the light of the world. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man had been in physical darkness all his life. He had never seen light. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And this question that the disciples asked was, so this man has been blind from birth, and this was well known. So that's unusual, Lord. That's got to be a form of judgment on this man or on his family. So did he sin? Did he do something to deserve this judgment? Or did his parents do something really, really terrible and wicked so that their child was born in darkness, born without sight? Well, who sinned, Lord? Who deserved this? And Jesus said, they didn't sin to deserve this. This happened so that the works of God should be made manifest. And that's a good picture of you and me. You didn't deserve, you didn't do something to be born a sinner. I didn't do anything to be born a sinner. It was just, this is part of us being human. Part of being human. It's a result of Adam and Eve's sin. Born blind, born in darkness, spiritual darkness. But Jesus came for the works of God to be manifest in us. He is the light of the world. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In John 12:46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do abide in darkness. It's not just temporary. Every night is a temporary period of time where there's darkness on the earth. And then it's daytime again. But if you're lost today, you live in perpetual darkness. Spiritual darkness. You might have the light of God preached to you, but you live in darkness. You sit in darkness, but you don't have to. You don't have to stay there. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And when we consider a group of people like the Pharisees, they were men that appeared to be living in light, but so often their actions showed them to be living in darkness. They appeared to be spiritual. They appeared to know God. They appeared to love God and love God's word and follow it. But they lived in darkness because when Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came, they rejected him. And they even tried to have him killed. They tried to arrest him. They were angry at the things that he was teaching. They resisted him. Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, is an example of the kind of person that looks like they're in the light, but they live in darkness. Verse 2, it says, the same came to Jesus by night. Interesting. I believe he came by night because he didn't want his actions to be noticed. He came in the darkness to avoid being noticed. He didn't want to be seen as coming to Jesus. But he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There's a problem that we have. We don't understand, maybe we don't agree with everything that you're teaching, but we see the power in your life. We see the works that you do, and we know no one can do that unless they're from God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the light that Jesus was shining. This is how you can know God. This is how you can be right with God. This is how you can have your sins forgiven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus came to shine this light in a dark world. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have you done that? Has that happened in your life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just as that Ecuadorian president was in the cell without light, and then someone gave him light, gave meaning to his imprisonment, Christ came into our darkness to give us light, so that we don't have to live in darkness and sit in darkness. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And we see this in our world today in physical ways, because when the sun goes down, criminals come out. They want their actions to be hidden by darkness. And I was talking to Brother Brian, who's a policeman. He was talking about how that is true. When you have an overnight shift as a policeman, you have a lot of extra calls, because people, the criminal element in society are active during the darkness, because their deeds are hidden. They don't want to be revealed. They don't want to be seen. And Jesus said, there are many people that don't want their sins to be revealed. They love their sin. They love their wickedness. They don't want to come to the light, and so they don't come to Christ. Jesus Christ is undisputably, undeniably godly and good and holy. People cannot undermine his character. People cannot deny that he is good. But that doesn't mean they want him, because they don't want their deeds to be shown. They don't want their sin to be revealed. They don't want to come to the light. They would rather have the darkness. And men are given a choice. Will you have light, or will you have darkness in your life? Each person has the ability given from God to choose for themselves. You can sit in church like this and hear the preaching from God's word. The light is being shown to you, you might say. That doesn't mean you'll come to the light. That doesn't mean you'll accept the light. That doesn't mean you'll let the light of God come into your heart, come into your life. Will you choose Christ, or will you choose your sin? The light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to shine the light of God's truth in the heart of every sinner. That's why he came. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. But so many people do not want that light in their life. It seems silly and foolish for somebody in a windowless, lightless cell to say, oh, no, I prefer this darkness and solitary confinement. I think being alone in pitch darkness is maybe one of the most cruel forms of imprisonment. It affects you psychologically, because we weren't made to live that way. God didn't intend for us to live that way. And spiritually, God did not intend for us to live in darkness. But men do love their sin. And so they choose to live in darkness so often. They choose to deny Christ. But you don't have to. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to preach a message of light. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. We read in John chapter 1 that John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of that light. And we see both of these men mentioned in verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think about these Egyptians and their dwellings. Darkness which could be felt, and they didn't move. They were scared to move. They didn't want to go anywhere. They were oppressed by that darkness. And these people, Isaiah prophesied of them, they sat in darkness, and suddenly there is great light. And it came in the form of Jesus, the Son of God, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Are you in darkness today? Do you have the light of God in your heart? Are you coming to the light? Jesus sees your dark condition, and he doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to be blind. He wants you to see the light. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Men don't want to come to the light because they love their sin. But there's also a spiritual battle that goes on. In verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Many times, sinners have said, lost people have said to me, or to maybe to some of you, "Oh, you go to church, you know, you're a Christian, you're a religious person. Oh, that means you can't do this, you can't do that. You have to stop doing this thing that, you know, is fun or enjoyable." And that is not the Christian life. Maybe, but that's how lost people might view it, because they see a truly saved person who is following the Lord, and they see a life that looks pretty boring, maybe, pretty uncomfortable, because this thing is fun, and I guess you could say that's sin, and I like doing this, and I guess the Bible says I can't do that, and so I don't want to give up my sin. But what they don't understand is, you get saved, you don't want to do those things anymore. You see the wickedness. You see the sorrow, the destruction that comes from that sin. And then, not only is there that point at salvation, you don't want to do those things anymore, but the longer you walk with God, the more you see that this behavior, this habit, this thought pattern, this activity that I used to enjoy doing, that hinders my walk with God, that darkens my life. I want to be closer and closer to the light. I want to know the Lord more deeply, more intimately. And so I gladly give up those things, because the light is a wonderful thing. The light gives me purpose. It gives me joy. I want more of the light in my life. How can my life be more illuminated? It's a wonderful progression, a wonderful direction to move. It's the direction of sanctification. Light is a wonderful thing. And this light God commanded to shine out of darkness, he wants it to shine in our hearts. The light of the world is Jesus. Is he shining in your heart? Turn to Revelation chapter 21. People are blinded, and so they think their darkened life of sin is good. They don't understand that it's a condition. But when God shines the light in our heart, he helps us to understand our condition. Revelation 21, verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." So the gates of this heavenly city are open in the daytime, and there's no nighttime, so they're open all the time. It's just day. The Lamb is the light thereof. The world seems more and more enthralled with darkness. You notice that? Around Halloween, you see that darkness come out in decorations, and it's supposed to be enjoyable, but there's so much darkness in our world, so much wickedness. But God wants to send light to illuminate lives, to dispel blindness, to remove the confusion in life. And I would ask you, have you come to the light? Have you been saved, or are you still in darkness? If you know Christ, the light of the world, your life will have meaning. People struggle with that. What's my purpose here? I need to discover myself. I need to discover my purpose. I need to have a direction in life. And they can't find one, at least one that satisfies them for very long, because they're in darkness. They don't understand. The light is not shining. They do not see properly. The light of the world is Christ. And you might say, well, I want this light. How do I have this light? How does Christ come into my life? Well, you need to go to the Word of God first. God's Word is light. Turn to Psalm 119. Christ is the light of the world. John chapter 1 describes him as the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Bible, is a light in our lives. You might say, well, I want to be saved. I want to know this light. I want to have it in my life. How do I have it? Go to the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. God's Word is light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're walking through the woods, there are all kinds of things on a darkened path at night that can trip you up. It might be a clear path, but the elevation, there are bumps or dips, and if you don't see them coming, you're going to fall. There might be branches, there might be stones, there might be roots and things like that that trip you up. You need a lamp, you need a light unto your path. And the Word of God is a lamp unto our path in life. There are a lot of things that come along in life, a lot of curveballs, a lot of unexpected situations. And we need the Word of God to guide our steps, to help us know how to live. And if we don't have that, we're going to stumble and fall. We're going to experience a lot of hardship. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 137. Look at verse 137. It says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. We need God's word. We need him to lighten our path, to help us to see, and help us to make our steps properly, skillfully, correctly. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. A lot of people don't want to be told how to live. They don't want to receive instruction from the Word of God. They want to decide what is true. They want to decide what they will do. And they stumble and fall, and they experience a lot of hardship. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. There's a famous song called My Way. It's really, it's a proud commentary. I lived life my way, and I did it the way I wanted to do it. I lived how I wanted to live. And it sounds good. It doesn't mention the heartache that comes along with that. It doesn't mention the lack of meaning. It doesn't mention the destruction that comes when people live their way. We need the light of God's word. We need God to direct our steps. And how much better would it be to say, I did it God's way. So much better. Doesn't mean we'll understand everything. Doesn't mean we won't have any hard times, any difficult times. But it does mean we'll live in the light. And we'll be able to bring glory to God, to the great God, as the special was talking about. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So much to be appreciated in the Word of God, in the law of God. But sinners, lost sinners, living in darkness, did not naturally appreciate these things. but enlightening the eyes, rejoicing the heart, making wise the simple. So much benefit. And you want to, if you ask, how do I know the light of the world? How can I have that light in my life? How can I have it more in my life? Maybe I see a little bit of it. Maybe I live some of the time by it. How do I have more of it? This is how. Read it. Follow it. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to help you be faithful to it. Read it more. Study it more. But the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is more to be desired than gold. People buy precious metals, gold and silver, bullion. They store it because it is economically, financially, it's a stable form of wealth. But all it takes is a thief, and you don't have that anymore. People lay up treasures in the stock market, and all it takes is a crash. People lay up food stores, and all it takes is an earthquake or a thief, and you don't have those things anymore. But when you hide God's word in your heart, that is light that no one can take from you. When God's word changes you and converts your soul, that is a blessing that no one can steal from you. The light of God's word has that effect in our lives. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." He's saying, we're not following clever tricks, clever stories, fables in living life. We saw Christ. We watched him. We're following what we saw from him. We were eyewitnesses. But then he goes on and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." When a ship is on a stormy sea and they see a lighthouse and they look at their map and they know where that lighthouse is and what it means, they do well to chart a course based off of that lighthouse. That light is shining out of darkness. It is illuminating. It is helping them orient in life. Yes, it's a dark place. Yes, they're struggling with darkness. They don't see everything around them, but they see that light and they live according to that light. We would do well to live that way according to the Bible. This is the light. We don't know everything in life. We don't understand everything that goes on around us. We don't understand our own heart so often. But this Bible tells us. This Bible tells us how to live. We live in a dark time. We live in a dark world. And one day, the light of the world is coming back. One day, everything will be made manifest. One day, if you're saved, you will be in heaven, and there is no night there. Until that day dawn, live by the light of the Word of God. Let that light illumine your life. Do you want the light of the gospel in your life? I hope you do. If you do, are you willing to go to the scriptures to receive it? Are you willing to draw near to the Lord? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. God hasn't hidden the light. I'm so thankful for that. If God tried to hide something from me, I would never find it. It wouldn't be hard for him to keep me from ever finding something that he's hiding. But he's not hiding the word of God. He's not hiding the truth from us. It's right here. He's making it available to all of us. And I'm so thankful for that. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want the light of God in your life? Do you want the light of the world to come into your life and move in and change you and save you? Are you knowing the word of God? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you meditating on it? It's easy for saints to say, well, I did my 15, 20 minutes. I'm good for the day. And even easier for lost people to say, well, you know, I went to church this week, so I should be fine. I don't know why God's not shining the light in my life. But with the Bible so accessible, we ought to be reading it. We don't understand it all when we read it. There's a lot that I don't understand. But I ought to be going to it and reading it and meditating on it, asking God to open my eyes, asking God to open my understanding. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we need the Word of God to teach us so that He can come into our life. God's Word is light. But there's another aspect, example of God's light. And God's children are also light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. He's talking to his followers. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Men don't light a candle and then hide it. They light it so that it can be elevated and lifted up so it casts its light to benefit from the light. That's the purpose of a candle. And Jesus is saying, if you are my followers, you're saved. You have been saved to be a light in a dark world. Let that light be shown. Let it be displayed. Not for our own glory, but for His. God loves to use the humble people, the babes, the foolish in this world to glorify Himself. And you are one of those. I am one of those. We have nothing to boast of. We are not elevated and worthy of commendation. We're just humble people. We're just sinners. There's nothing good in us. But if the Lord has changed you, let that be revealed. Let that be displayed. Be a light. If you're saved today, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that those in darkness can see it. John chapter 1, we read these verses already. But how are we the light of the world? It's an interesting question. Good question. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in Christ, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. How is Christ the light of the world? Because in Him is life. True life. You and I have physical life, but it's really, maybe it could be described as just a chemical state of a body being mobile. And one day this body will die, and it will be buried and turned back to dust. But real life, true life, is spiritual life. That life is found in Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So how are sinners, saved people, how can we be the light of the world? Well, when we have the life of Christ in us. When you know the Lord and you have spiritual life, you are that light. Christ is the light of the world, and you can be the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the life, and it is life that is the light that men need. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the life, and if you've come to the Father through Him, you have that life, and you have that light. It's not your light. It's not your life. It's the life of Christ, the light of Christ. And you ought to shine that, reflect that, we might say, to others. John 8, 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's not put on, it's not outward. You know, as long as you follow this set of rules, then you'll be a good Christian. No, it's an inward one. It is life, it's not behavior. In him was the light of behavior. It doesn't say that. The life does change your behavior. The life is not behavior. The life is spiritual life. And it changes you, changes your behavior. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let your behavior reflect what's on the inside. And I would ask you, if you're saved today, is this true of you? We might be able, and I think that this has been true of me, maybe in my many years ago, as a child, as a teenager, hopefully not as an adult, but times when, yes, there's life, because I'm saved, the light is in my heart, but it sure doesn't make its way out all that often, all that brightly, because I'm not living as I should. I'm not outwardly glorifying the Lord. I'm not outwardly living as Christ would have me live. You know, I might have a smile on my face, and if we sit down and talk for a while, I'll tell you that I'm saved, but does it come out? Does it shine brightly on a daily basis? Is it easy for others to see the light, the life that is in you? If you were the only Christian in the world, would there be much light around you? Sometimes we can sort of bask in the glow of other Christians and sort of be part of that. Yeah, I'm a Christian. They know I'm a Christian because I hang around with this really good Christian, you know, this really godly person. But if you were all alone, would the world see light? We need to live. We need to walk as children of light. We need to lift that light up on a candlestick so that all may see it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is exhorting the believers in the church in Thessalonica. We don't have to live like the world lives. We have the light. Let us not walk as children of darkness, but children of light. Let us not live like they do. Let's live in the light. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Life lived in darkness is a terrible life. It's a depressing life. It's a hopeless life. You don't have to live there. The Word of God is a light to bring you out. Christ has the light that you need. 1 John chapter 1, first one. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Light came, in other words, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. Last night, one of the men who came to prayer meeting mentioned an opportunity that he had to witness to a driver, a taxi driver, who gave him a ride, and some things happened, but it started a contact that he was able to use to give that man the gospel. That's how we ought to live our life. Not just, you know, if somebody comes to me and wants to know why I'm a Christian, then we can find a time to sit down and talk about the Word of God. But every day, looking for an opportunity to shine light. And it doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be, you know, I don't care what you think about it. Just you just sit down and be still, and I'll tell you what you need to hear. It's not none of that. It's just every opportunity, every contact with people, strangers or familiar, what can I do to lift up the light that's in my heart? How can I show people that this has changed me, that Christ gives me meaning and he can give them meaning, whether they're saved or not? I don't know if they're saved, but even if they are saved, they can still walk as children of light. They can still be blessed by Christ. And if they're lost, they need to know this. They need to hear this. How can I shine that light? It might not be giving them verbally the gospel. It might just be a kind word. It might just be a way to bless them and show care for them. But how can I show that light? Lift it up on a candlestick every day. What can I do to walk as children of light? 1 John 1 goes on. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what helps us, what helps you, what helps me to walk as children of light, to shine that light, to lift it up in a dark world? You know what helps? Is living with a clear conscience. Living with no guilt. Living with no shame over our sin. Not that we are proud of our sin, but we live in a way that when we're walking with God, we're doing what he wants. And there are times when we sin. And when we immediately identify it and confess it and repent of it and give it to God, he cleanses us from sin, and we can go on with a clear conscience. We can go on with joy, knowing that there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. We can live joyfully. But if we're harboring sin, if we're slow to repent, slow to confess, now we've got that on our conscience. Now we have something weighing us down. Now we're not quite as bold to tell others about the gospel because, you know, we all make mistakes, and I'm not really living how I should, so I don't want to say the wrong thing. And, you know, I don't. But when the light is shining, we have nothing to hide. And when the Lord shows us, we are quick to judge ourselves. We are quick to confess it. That's all I want anyway. I just want to have a clear conscience with the Lord. And so he shows me my sin, and I confess it, and I clear it, and he cleanses me, and now I can shine the light in the lives of others. That's what it means to walk as children of light. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is talking to King Agrippa and telling King Agrippa his testimony of how Christ shined the light in his life. And the Lord did it with physical light. We know on the road to Damascus, Paul says, "At midday, O king, at midday, the brightest day, time of day, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And he said, I have a mission for you. Paul was saved. Paul accepted Christ as his Savior. He said, "Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Jesus is the light of the world. The devil is of the darkness. And the Lord wants to turn people from darkness to light. He wants to shine the light in hearts, to help us see clearly, to help our eyes be illuminated, to help us know what is truth and what is false, to give meaning to our life. If you're lost today, probably struggle with meaning. What's the point? What's the purpose? You might know some things in your head that the Bible teaches, but you don't know in your heart, because you're in darkness. But Jesus is the light of the world, and he's given us the light of God's word to show us how to live, to show us how to have Christ. And he's made his people to be lights in this world. Are you in darkness? Have you been saved? Are you being a light? Are you shining the light in the darkness around you? This is what the Lord has for us. Light is a wonderful thing. Let our light so shine before men that they may come to the light. Jesus Christ, the light.